This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Own It Show Coach Conversations, because that's where the best conversations happen. I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
Today we have a man who Elise and I were introduced to like 4 months ago, maybe. And it's been incredible just to be exposed to this man's content, to this man's community, to this man's purpose.
And his energy.
Mm-hmm. And just the way that he is showing up in this world and the work that he's doing in this world, because there's a difference between success and significance. And he's truly found the way in which to find success, but create significance. And that is not easy to do. And we brought him on today to really kind of walk through that journey, because it hasn't always been like that. And it's not a bad thing that it hasn't always been like that, because it's a learning experience. It's a journey that we're all on. And the moment that we are able to tap into something deeper, something more meaningful, something more purposeful, we can take actions that will lead us to those destinations. And so without further ado, Tristan, it is a pleasure to introduce you to our group and our community. And thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. I'm excited about the conversation because I have no clue what we're talking about. So I love that.
It's so funny you say that, because I had somebody literally just reach out to me today and go, they're coming on the show later this week. And they go, hey, Justin, do you have prep questions for me? I said, yes, show up with open arms, open eyes, and an open heart, and you'll be perfectly fine. And so I we don't have a guide. Like there's no guide to this.
Just a conversation.
That's the best. Organic, I think, allows conversations to go places that preconceived conversations don't really go to.
Yep.
And they end up being exactly what they were supposed to be. And that's what I love about it. It comes from the heart, and it ultimately will hit people in the heart, which creates change. We try to lead from the mind too often, and we miss that core of what happens. So, Tristan, I know you've found immense success. You're consulting for some of the biggest firms in the world. Your brand has been seen everywhere. But lead us up to like the journey to kind of get there. What was it for you that led you to this place of heart-led service?
Jeez, man, I don't know where it started, but I can tell you that as a child, I had good parents. So I think my mom and my dad both instilled great values in me and spent time with me to be able to say, hey, look, these are the things you don't do, and these are the things you should do. And obviously, as parents, right, they make mistakes too. So you're like, okay, no, do that. But I see what they're telling me. And I think as I got older, I made some mistakes growing up. And I realized quickly that I didn't want to be a person that was making people look into my life and saying, hey, look, everyone, don't be like that person. Instead, I always wanted to lead from a place where they would say, hey, you see that guy? Be like him. Even though he's made mistakes, he's doing a great enough job to make a difference in other people's lives. And I think that's where a lot of that value comes from. I started the journey out of college to go into real estate, just as a real estate agent in Southern California. And then from there, I picked real estate because I was like, I was already married, 19. And it happened early. And I was living with my mom in a room. And I was like, I looked up my wife. I graduated like 22, 23 around there. And I was like, what should I do? We're graduating college. And she's like, well, you love history. I was like, yeah, I do love history. So I applied to law school. I got into law school, but then I went to my mom because we're living in her house in a room. And I'm like, hey, mom, what should I do? She's like, well, real estate agents drive nice cars. And I was like, that's a really good point. I think I'm going to be a real estate agent. And so I became a real estate agent. That's how that happened. And real estate went really well. And as I was in real estate, I used some of the skills that I had from telemarketing. So I used to sell ink cartridges and windows by phone. And I was like, this real estate thing is a lot easier than I thought, right? Because I had learned those skills in high school and college. And so in transition, the market then tanks because of the recession, the Great Recession, 2007, 2008, and everything that I was doing wasn't working. So I shifted over to online leads. And in one of those transitions, I happened to pick up Realtor.com, their leads that they were selling. And I'm like, let's do this. And Realtor.com noticed that I was doing well with the online leads. And they said, what are you doing? And I explained to them, I said, can you stop over and we can record exactly what you told us and we can send it out to other agents so they can learn from you? And I was like, sure, that's a great opportunity, right? Why not? And so I didn't realize at the time they were in the same building I was in Westlake Village, California. No clue. So they said, come over, open up your door. We're on the right side. I'm like, no way. So I got out the door, went into their room. They recorded me, sent it to their executives. And the executive said, who is this kid? Ask him if he can speak for us because we bought a slot for the National Association of Realtors with 20,000 agents in the room. And we want him to speak there. And I was like, I'm down. I'll speak. Just fly my family over. And so that was the beginning of it. And it all came from, as I looked back, it all came from me saying, okay, to saying, yeah, tell the people what I'm doing. I have nothing to hide or a reason for me to keep that just to me. Right. And I noticed that that has been one trend that has allowed me to connect with more and more and more people. The ability to just realize that the things that I have isn't anything special and that it should be shared with more and more people.
I love that. That is such an amazing mindset because quite frankly, it's something I've struggled with at the beginning of my career was like, knowing that I knew something that other people didn't. And it was like, oh, that's my secret sauce. I've got to keep it in. I can't let anybody know about that. You have to come into my world to learn about this. You have to be invested in what I'm doing to be able to learn about this. You have to pay me for this because this is my knowledge. But in actuality, the moment you open the box, the moment you open the door and you start giving this away, everybody that's taking it in is like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. They're giving this away for free. Imagine what I'm going to get when I'm in the ecosystem.
Yes.
And that's it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
And actually, even brilliance aside, it's really just about living authentically.
Very true.
Truly being who you are and being able to show up. This is who I am, regardless of whether you're paying me or not. This is just how I lead and what I choose to share in the world because it's authentic to me.
Yeah. The challenge I had, the opposite, was, well, I never thought that I was good enough to have people pay for that information. Mm. So the conversation that I had with my wife on the plane flying to speak to 20,000 people was, hey, this is kind of cool. We've never done anything like this before. What do you think we should do with this opportunity? And she's like, you know, we should probably be online somewhere. And I was like, maybe we should start a blog, right, to kind of give this stuff away. And she's like, no, I think you should start a Facebook group. And I thought, that was a stupid idea. I hate Facebook. So I started a Facebook group because she's always right, right? And then the Facebook group blew up. It just happened at the right time because I listened to my wife, which was hilarious.
Which is the key to life, right?
The key to life. No, but it's so consistently true.
I keep trying to tell Justin that. He's not
Justin, just listen to her. Just listen to her. Trust me, they're right. And you don't even know it. It's like, holy crap, how? It's so funny.
How did they know?
Like 5 years ahead. How?
So other than that amazing piece of advice that your wife gave you and, leading from that value of your wife is always right. One of the things I really want to dive into with you, Tristan, is this idea of limiting beliefs, because you talked about this limiting belief that you had about, not being able to show up because essentially not being worth it. Right.
Yeah.
And so how did you, this is something that a lot of our listeners who are entrepreneurs, who are, potentially in that stage of their journey as well, struggle with. Can you talk us through how you overcame that limiting belief, or if there's something that, you know, you've struggled with even more recently that you're able to switch into a more powerful, abundant, driven mindset, as opposed to living in that limiting belief and allowing it to hold you back?
Yeah, I think that limiting belief for me started with real estate. And it started from my upbringing. So I was born in Los Angeles to Mexican parents. So I didn't, and they were living in an area that wasn't the greatest. So I always grew up around the same type of mindset, saying this is who you are and your people are stuck being here, right? I never was exposed to anything much greater than that. And so I think that stemmed from there, because as I grew into real estate, although I tried to break into luxury a few times, I mean, I'm in LA, Beverly Hills, Malibu, Calabasas, everything. I failed one time pretty miserably. And I thought, well, this just isn't for me. And I let that belief dictate my behavior. Mm-hmm. And for years, until we sold a $33 million home, I was like, wait, let me reanalyze this.
I think I need to challenge that belief.
Yeah. But then even then, when I transitioned it over to now being a voice for the real estate community around the nation, I still believe that what I had to give wasn't worth anybody paying for. And that took a longer time to transition into, because I thought, well, why would anybody pay to listen to me? They could just go to somebody else who does this already, right? And that was a harder process. It was in stages. And it was through just me coming to grips through feeling like I was losing opportunities left and right, because I wasn't sharing myself in the right way, right? I felt like, oh, you know what? I just need to give this away, because who would pay me? And I wouldn't put as much love into it. What I noticed, though, in transition is I'm like, hey, you know what? People are going to pay for this. I would put extra effort into it, break it down even more, because I wanted it to feel like, hey, you know what? If anybody's paying for this, it's got to be worth it, mm-hmm. right? So I found that I transitioned into a better form of who I was because of it as well. And then I got to, in the process, speak to other brilliant people like yourselves, right? Through Success Magazine. And that came from an opportunity of doing things for free. So I find that in the growth, it's a combination of you evolving and being comfortable with yourself. But the evolving happens through exposure to other people doing amazing things. And through that, it empowers you to understand really who you can become and who you are. But that's a challenge. That is still something that I struggle with internally.
Yeah, of course it is. And it's something that everybody has their kryptonite, right? Everybody has that little piece of poison that they all struggle with. But, you know, really just to mirror back what you said, it's about awareness, right? A lot of the awareness that you're generating is by seeing these amazing, empowering people around you and how they may be leading differently, that allows you to turn the finger on yourself and point the finger on yourself and say, hey, how can I be better? How can I lead? You use the word love, right? Pouring love into your work. How can I lead better with love? Or how can I lead better with kindness?
Yeah, that's really it.
I love what you were talking about there, because I'm going to bring this all around here in a second. When you're growing every day, when you're looking at not comparing yourself to everybody else, because comparison is the sin that will eliminate joy from every aspect of your life, but rather seeing where can I level up and being okay, not judging yourself on where you're at currently, but being excited for where you're going. And as we do that, we can realize that mentality of saying, hey, I've got imposter syndrome, I'm not good enough. We're actually dishonoring our gifts and blessings by not leaning into our God-given calling. And by not leaning in, by not speaking up, by thinking we're just meant to be small, we're not accepting what has been placed on our life. We're not accepting this true guidance. And what I've seen from everything I've seen from you is that you not only looked at everything else and how you could level up, but you created leadership principles for yourself. And I want you to talk to our audience a little bit about iSpark, because it's the way that you've kind of created this, and I think you have five or six points that you talk to that guide these leadership principles that, quite frankly, open up a whole new world for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, dude, thank you. I appreciate that. I think the idea behind it came from me. It was me interviewing. I don't remember who I was interviewing at the time for Success Magazine. And it was a combination of reading a book that exposed me to Amazon's leadership principles at the time. When Bezos started Amazon, he said he started with 7 or 8 principles. And I thought, interesting. Do I need principles too? I mean, we think only what we're exposed to, right? So I was thinking, I was like, wait a second, I should really write down how I operate so I get to know myself better, right? What are the things that really motivate me to want to do more for myself and for those around me? And then how do I respond to challenges when things go wrong, right? Or when things get tough, how do I respond? And so in that, I outlined a few things, and then what I did is I rearranged those things so that they made an acronym that I would remember, right? That's where iSpark came from. And out of everything that I do, it really started for me with kindness, but it's at the end because iSpark just sounds way better for me.
So, it's not KISSPAR.
Right. So anyways, I always thought kindness, out of everything we do and out of every way I lead, the people that I touch always remember that I'm easy to work with. And that's opened up so many different opportunities for me, right? In that conversation that I was having earlier when I went with Realtor.com, they said, wow, that was easy. And you had such an amazing reception from the audience. Can we have you speak for us around the nation around the same topic? And I'm like, sure, just fly my family with me, right? So they did. They didn't pay me. And people were in my ear saying, hey, you know what? I can't believe they're not paying you. Can't believe you should ask for money. I'm like, no, there's another opportunity here. We just have to stay with it. And so in one of those, many opportunities came, but one of those, I became part of their broker advisory board. So I got to visit Facebook and so many different offices. One of the meetings that we had, I met this guy. His name's Glenn Sanford. And Glenn at the time was starting this small company called EXP. He explains it to me. He's like, dude, I've got like 300 agents here, and I'm going to go around the nation on a tour bus and convert agents all across. I'm like, that sounds amazing. But dude, I don't think it's for me. And we connected. We became friends. He became a billionaire, and he bought Success Magazine years later. And then he calls me up because we're always texting, and he calls me up. He's like, hey, you want to help me with Success Magazine? I'm like, dude, of course I'll help you. He's like, good. You can run the people aspect. You can interview everybody we know. I'm like, he goes, and we'll pay you. I'm like, well, I was going to do it for free, but you'll pay me. That's great. That's just one of the opportunities that popped up from me connecting with people and not judging and saying, hey, yeah, empowering, right? Through kindness. So that's one. Resilience. I thought, well, I've been through pretty bad stuff, and I've been able to quickly turn it around. There was one time in real estate, all my stories start with real estate, right? As we were growing in influence in real estate, I had one incident where I was in a bus heading to an award ceremony where we were nominated for an award, me and my business partner. We're towards the middle of the bus, sitting next to the guy that's a little drunk, talking about Tinder. And the conversation got pretty nutty on his part. And I'm just there texting over to the right. And there's these three ladies sitting in the front row. And they somehow were upset for the conversation he was having out loud with nobody. And we were just part of it. So it got a little crazy. Then in October of 2016, when the whole Trump incident came out, when he was on a bus and he was talking about inappropriate behavior, they took that and they said, well, hey, that's interesting. We were in a bus with somebody having an appropriate behavior. And so they said, hey, the founder of Lab Coat Agents with his co-founder were talking inappropriately, saying they were cheating on their wives. They were on Tinder. And that article, in the span of about a week, got 1 million views and spread all throughout. And we were, this is before, right before the cancel movement.
Wow.
And then we were, I was blown up on text, email, messenger, saying, destroy Lab Coat Agents. You're not worth it. It was so bad. It was pretty bad. And then I had, the good thing is I had people that know me. They're like, that's not Tristan. No way. Not Tristan. Not Tristan. But it hurt a lot emotionally. It was pretty bad for my wife and my kids and me. And so we remember that because I got fired from Keller Williams for that, even though I got rehired after they did their investigation. That was something that really introduced me to the whole social media world. Yeah. And that's how really we became famous in the real estate world through that. So
that's
I had to show
people. You never know where it's going to come from.
Right? Dude, I didn't know. But that's what did it. But that also made me feel always inferior, going back to the beginning. It's like, why would people pay to coach with me or to have me help them? That always stemmed from there as well. It just continued it.
Got it.
And so the resilience part, I always think, well, we've been pretty resilient because I took that on pretty well. And I turn things around now, right?
Yep.
So I always think of resilience there, awareness, knowing that my wife's always right. No, but in all seriousness, I know that I make a lot of mistakes. And I think just taking the time, I'm really good at taking the time to look back through the day and say, hey, you know what? I shouldn't have raised my voice at my son that way. He came in just asking for help, right? And being able to adjust the small things on a day-to-day basis to be able to treat people around me better, whether it's employees, right, staff members, or family, or even myself, right? So that's why I have awareness there. And then people first, I know that everything we built is because of the people we have. The people that we put in place allow us to be able to scale. And it doesn't matter where you're from. I mean, I've got 41 virtual assistants right now.
Wow.
And I
that's put a lot them, of systems.
Dude, yes, exactly. A lot of accountability, but knowing that if I micromanage them, stuff won't happen. Right. Just putting the right values in place first and looking for the right people has been important. And then systems, putting the right systems so that they can run the process that we expect. And then innovation. For us, innovation is a little different. It doesn't always look like, hey, what are you creating as tech? But for us is, how are you always looking for opportunities to be able to do things that are better or slightly different that enhances something? So we're always looking to innovate in processes, systems, and just in engaging with people. So that's it. I reversed it, but started with kindness, but it's iSpark.
Yeah.
iSpark. Yeah. I like it. And guys, at the end, we're going to go back over this. So innovation, systems, people first, awareness, resilience, and kindness in that iSpark process. And listeners, I challenge you, no matter what stage of anything you're in, like think about these in your spot. And you don't just have to take iSpark and go, what does this mean to me? But even Elise and I, in our relationship, have guiding principles that guide our marriage. Our business has guiding principles.
Individually, we have them.
Individually, we have guiding principles. And so it's a lens that you're able to look through every decision you ever have to make. And guess what? Decisions become much easier. There really becomes just one clear answer when you have these things at your fingertips.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to something you were talking about when you were talking through kindness, was this opportunistic, open-minded approach that you had to life when you were going on a speaking tour. And although they weren't paying you, they allowed you to bring your family. And then later you got the opportunity to run Success Magazine. and you were going to take it again without even pay. But of course there was pay attached to it. And in the pre-show, we were talking about this idea of ownership, which is leading from an internally led place because you are so connected to your purpose and living in alignment with that versus living for the next paycheck or living for the next Instagram life or Instagram like, yeah, or that next thing that will externally validate you. So mm-hmm. I want to dive into this opportunistic ownership mindset that you're in and tell our listeners how you've been able to cultivate that mindset, lead from that place, and probably likely be even more successful than you would have been had you lived from an externally driven place.
Yeah, it's something that you have to practice for sure, because as a human nature, it's like, well, do I do this and not expect anything? Well, what is that? Or do I do it anyway?
It's counterintuitive.
It is. And yeah, sometimes I still go, even though my nature from being younger, just doing things because I would just do it just to help, I still have the other thoughts. Like I still think like, wait a second, is this stupid of me? Right. And I think I've been rewarded so many times now at this point that I don't, even though I may second guess it, sometimes I still do it anyway. So anytime I meet with somebody and they give me the, okay, so how much are we going to make from this? Right. What's the bottom line? Right. I go, ooh, you're looking at it a little differently. Right. Let's think of how many people we can touch with this. Is it going to make a difference in people's lives? Mm-hmm. And then I can guarantee that if we do well enough over a consistent period of time, we'll see the money come through. But that's not what we start with. And you know what's cool? That I get to talk to so many different high achievers, both financially and not. It could be relationships. It could be physically. It could be whatever. You can see that most of them start with no business plan, which is crazy, right? You would think that everybody's got a business plan, but no. It's like they just had an idea and they went with it. They went with their gut. They knew that it was right and they knew that it would help lots of people and they just did it. And I'm like, and then they build a business plan, which is crazy.
It's amazing to go back to what you just said, because you said when you lead through service, when you take your mindset and move it to a place of service.
How many people can we impact?
And not only that, how many people can we inspire? And I want to paint this picture for you guys for a second. Listeners out there, hold on to this. If you're like driving, like just focus on this, focus on the road and focus on what's coming to your ears here. If you have pen, write this down, because this is something that's just kind of been downloaded from what you just said, Tristan. And it's amazing is when you leave with service, you have the opportunity to inspire. And inspiration is different from motivation, because inspiration leads somebody to take action. It leads somebody to truly do something. And if you track back the lineage of the word inspire, in Hebrew, it means Holy Spirit. It means literally to activate the fire within somebody. And so when you lead with service, you have the opportunity to inspire and light somebody up to change their life and the trajectory of where they are going. And so by being willing and able to choose your best yes, by leaning into this service mentality, by being opportunistic and having that opportunistic mindset and foregoing whatever is earthly for whatever is put on your heart to serve and do and activate that gift, you're inspiring others that will thus open up the doors for them to touch others as well. And it exponentially increases the reach to impact the world. And that is, it's amazing that you get paid back 100-fold. On that at the end of the day.
It's so true, man. By the way, I didn't know that about the spirit. That's so cool. I took notes of that.
It's amazing when you take a look back at it, and it's like, it makes so much sense, right? Like people are always like, I want to be inspired. Why do I feel good when I become inspired? It's because you've lit up literally the spirit inside of you. You've lit this fire that has been absent for so long. It's been a flickering flame, and now it's this massive inferno. That's why I've created change. That's why I've taken action. Motivation's fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. But when you're inspired, boy, look out.
Yeah, that's interesting on that part, because I think as entrepreneurs, we sometimes struggle with the consistency to remain in an inspired state, right? And obviously it's an impossibility to always remain there, right? But to have it consistently is the key.
To consistently feed the flame. When you feed the flame, that because going back to what you've just been talking about, Tristan, is if it always is leaning on the external worldly things, if it's just about the next million, cool, man. Like it, 1 million, make 5 million, make 10 million, make 11 million. Like, amazing. Like it, the inspiration goes away. It's just another thing. Yeah. Get another house, get another vacation. Cool. Like they're awesome, but cool. Let's take that and turn it into inspiration. Let's continue to stoke the fire. Never lose the purpose and the reason that you started what you did. And it always comes back to what you said, which was service and doing it in service of others. I was with Tim Tebow over the weekend, and he talked about something that just absolutely floored me. And it was it pairs to what you were talking about with leading with service, which was when we're in service, we often think about our timetable. Like we do things on our timetable, like what's convenient for us. And we wonder why we have a hard time getting inspired. And it's because we're thinking about our timetable and not thinking about the timetable of those that we're serving. The moment that we flip it and we think, hey, you're helping real estate agents make more money. You as the person, you're like, hey, how can I get more content out? It's your timetable. But you know that if you go to the people you're serving, they are having a hard time putting dinner on the table for their family. They're having a hard time making their bills. They're having a hard time in depression because they haven't been able to sell a home because they can't get out of this state they're in. You take yourself out of your timetable of just, oh, I'll get this out at some point, and you flip into them and say, I need to get this information out to them because there's people out there that aren't going to know where this is coming from. You speed up, you run, and you get inspired, and it stokes your flame again because that's what it's all about.
That's so well said, man. That is so true. That is so true. I think you find that more often in two places. One, when you surround yourself with people that can allow you to be inspired, right? And then secondly, you and I talked about this earlier this month, and that was through routines, because we're human. So, you know, we have the same emotions that everybody else. Sadness, right? Happiness, right? Anger. And we can also feel inspired. But sometimes we need a routine. Most of the times we need a routine to get us into these states and keep us there. And I think that's also a big piece of getting to where you want to get to find that consistency that you really want, that you've been looking for. You need to practice a process that can get you there and keep you there for a longer period of time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you've said that. That's a theme you've said multiple times, is practicing, right? It's not like we just show up and practice a new mindset once and then go back to the old way. It's not like we practice showing up one way and then go back to the old ways. It's about continually cultivating that and continually building that is something that I've really heard loud and clear from you today, Tristan.
Yeah. And you know what we forget as entrepreneurs here is that what we're practicing on one end eventually touches every part of our lives. So it's not just about business, right? Like we've all seen those entrepreneurs that are amazingly financially successful and yet are falling apart everywhere else, right?
100%.
Yeah.
It's really, hey, how can we as entrepreneurs live a life that's great for the people around us that we love, right? And for us to be able to touch those people that look inward and inspire those, because we truly are living a better life, Mm-hmm. Right. And we want to help others. And then on top of that, how do we still run an amazing business? Right. Yeah. For me, it comes down to one thing, man. It's just, you've got to embody what kindness looks like. Are you going to screw up? Yes. I mean, dude, I screwed up yesterday, right? We screw up every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great segue into my next question, because you kind of gave the long form answer, but I'd love the short form answer of what your definition of ownership is from somebody who so clearly lives in what we call ownership.
Ownership, I think, comes down to taking the responsibility to lead. And in that leadership, you're going to find that you're going to have ups and downs. But the ownership comes down to you. Like, what are you doing with your life? Because even though we want to feel like we're not leading, or we're not leaders, we're all, people are always looking in. To me, the thing that was super clear for me was, like, I'm just a guy trying to do real estate. And then I get a blog written about me saying something that I didn't say, or doing things that I didn't do. And then all of a sudden it's like, that's right. People are always looking, right? And even with the people we associate with, we've got to watch out and be careful. Mm. Right. And so for me, that was just even clearer of what I needed to do. What I needed to do was, I needed to show people more that the life I live is really, really so deep into kindness that's really what proceeds out of me. And that just defined, for me, that defined the next few years for me. From that one thing. Yeah. And I don't think people understand that. They don't take that duty seriously, or they feel like, no, not me. But what about your spouse, your brother, your father, your sister, your mother, your kids, your neighbors, the people at work? Everyone, right? We're all connected. Like, you open the door for somebody, guess what they feel? Right? You don't open the door, you say thank you, you don't say thank you. That's all part of leading by example. And right? For me, that one thing, it's just, I feel like I have a duty. I own it. Owning, to me, feels like I have a duty, and I can't, like you said earlier, like, I have this urge, like, if I don't show up, who's going to show up? And what message is being delivered to my people, the real estate agents, my people, if I'm not delivering that message, and somebody else's crappy ass message is being delivered, right?
Yep. 100%. It's so unique that you say that, because that calling that you're talking about is that fire that lives inside you. It is a calling, by definition, is something that you've chosen to take responsibility for. And we act on that. And when we lead and we act from that space, it continues that inspiration. And what happens is, as people get successful, they forget what inspired them in the first place. And that's the unique part that we'll continue to come back to. You talk about this consistency. That's where it needs to be from, and where it needs to be led from. Tristan, where can our audience find you? Where can our audience engage with you? Where can our audience learn more about you?
Easiest place is Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram. It's tristan.ahumada. That's me on Instagram. And if you can't find me anywhere, just go to Success Magazine Podcast and just type in Tristan, and then we'll pop up there. And if you're a real estate agent, you can jump into one of our groups, but our largest group has 150,000 real estate agents in there. So that one's a lab code agents. Mm-hmm. You can just type in Tristan in real estate. You will find me.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Guys, I really encourage you to do that. I really encourage you to lean out and lean into Tristan's work. Whether you're a real estate agent or not, the principles in which everything he speaks about really resonate, and it will make you better at every single thing that you are doing. And we'll tag all of those in the show notes so that people will be able to find Tristan and lean in there. So guys, wherever you're starting today, wherever we're meeting you at today, understand that although Tristan's story all starts with real estate, that's not where it ends. That was what opened and stoked that fire to create inspiration to do more. And your story starts with something too. And what does your story start with? Figure out what that starts with. Create these guiding principles for yourself, something similar to iSpark, innovation, systems, people first, awareness, resilience, kindness, so that you have a lens in which to look at everything and then to create this movement forward with. Because when you act from your calling, when you act from your purpose, when you act from something internal, it's a fire that is not going to go out with a quick blow of a wind. It's something that's a burning inferno that will continue to burn and continue to ignite other fires in other people that will eventually change the world. Because we know success is different. And so when you own your different, you will find what ultimately makes you significant. We'll see you next week.